You're listening to the 10 Bagger Podcast, presented by The Daily Gold. Join us as we uncover tomorrow's 10 baggers today. And now here's your host, Jordan Royburn.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another 10 Bagger Podcast. This is episode number 16. I'm chatting with my buddy I have not spoken to or seen in a while, Sean Broderick. He is the senior editor at Weiss Ratings. You can find all of his work at wealth-wave.com. You can also follow him on Twitter. He's very active there, at Sean Broderick. That's B-R-O-D-R-I-C-K. Sean, I hope I got that intro right. But aside from that, it's been a long time. I'm happy to have you on. How are you doing?
Fine, and it's so good to hear from you. We've had some excellent trips. Some of the best trips of my life were on trips with you. We have seen some really fantastic stuff, and I mean great little companies working in the precious metal space. So I'm really happy to do this interview with you.
Okay, I know you're covering quite a few things, but let's focus on gold and silver. And you know, when you think about the term 10 bagger when it comes to juniors and gold and silver, what comes to your mind? And maybe you could recall a 10 bagger that you've picked or you've invested in along the way. I'm just curious because you have a lot of experience in this sector. You've seen the ups and downs multiple times. Tell me about your history with 10 baggers in the sector and what the term means to you. I know there are about five questions in there, but just take it however you want.
That's okay. Well, my largest returns actually haven't been on precious metals, but I have had some really great returns. Two that come to mind. One is Great Panther. I got into that company when it was just starting. I was in a green room up in Vancouver, Canada, and the nice gentleman beside me was named Corey Foy. He is the guy who started Great Panther Silver, and he told me what his company was doing, and I was really intrigued by the fact that like they were taking old mills and like rehabbing them. They had very good people who were really good at like taking old equipment and making it work again and stuff. And so he like told me this whole story and said, why don't you come down and visit, you know, because I know you're a newsletter writer, you might find it interesting. So I went down there and it was a fantastic trip. I got my subscribers into that early, and that was a 10 bagger. Well, no, I think we got 700%. All right, so not quite a 10 bagger, but it was great. Was a great run. The other one, which was in precious metals, there used to be a great company called Exeter. They had this project called Caspiche down in Chile, and I went to visit that too. Really good team. They knew what they were doing, and when they get blocked, as often happens, you know, in mining, things don't work out the way you'd want. They'd approach it from another angle. They were tenacious. Just, you know, they were adamant that they were actually going to get this done. That company wasn't not the big return for us. What was the big return was their spin-out, Extore, because we held Exeter. We got a spin-out called Extore, which is like free money, right? That was their properties way down south in like Argentina. And I went down there too. And like, it's a beautiful project. I mean, they had like these veins of like precious metals just like running through the rock. It was gorgeous, but it was in the middle of freaking nowhere. The nearest town was the town that Argentina used to invade the Falkland Islands, which let me tell you is the middle of nowhere. So and like the, if like you went to the seacoast, and I guess also on the rivers coming in, there are these little baby penguins running around. And, like, the wind never stopped. So, middle of nowhere, but a fantastic deposit. Because we got that for free, you know, that one was, that was really good. Those were some really good precious metals things. And so, for those two things, I guess the lesson of that is we got early, identified the trend early, and also great management. The management was really, really strong. And they were not guys who were using these companies to, you know, do like a lifestyle thing. Yeah.
Enrich themselves.
Right.
At the expense of others.
Right. They were taking every dime they got and pouring it back into the projects. They were very, very good about that. And so I think those are two important things. Identifying a trend early and then, you know, finding a company with the right management. Other things I would look for. Well, and I just did want to mention an even bigger one for us was Katanga, which was a cobalt miner, still is, I think, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And there's nothing democratic about that, but there you go. But again, identified the energy metals cycle early enough that that one was just able to go through the roof. And so because we got in early enough. Now, also, you can buy these like small stocks and just not, you know, get anywhere because they don't work out. But taking a flyer now and then is a good thing to do. And so I was just going to add to the list of things I like look for in a company that I want to invest in. First of all, be to the party early if possible. If not, you know, you can still do well. Great management is the number one thing, because the smarter management is and the better able they are to deal with setbacks, and there's always setbacks in mining, the better off you are going to be. Next is higher grade, because higher grade covers a whole lot of mistakes and things going wrong, and things always go wrong. If you have high grade, you know, or at least higher grade, that will really, really help you out. And some people like to have mines that are right next to other big mines. You know, I've seen that pushed by one explorer executive after another. I don't find that to be quite true. In fact, I can think of one project down in the Dominican Republic that I went to, and like this guy pointed out a massive gold mine that was going in right next to him, and like he's there. We're right next to those guys. They have to buy us. No, they didn't. They had plenty of gold, and they're going to have gold for quite some time. They don't need to buy you. So location isn't quite the thing that many people would make it out to be, but one more thing to think about is like how cheap is it to get things in and out? You and I have like been to a project up in Alaska where their plan was to build like some kind of mini smelter on site and then fly the gold bars out of there. How expensive was that going to be? You know, I mean, you just have to pick your projects well. That's all.
Yeah, that's something that you can only really tell with site visits. Actually, I don't want to get too off track, but how do you? Because I know you've been like anywhere and everywhere, basically in this new pandemic world. How do you see site visits working out, or is just nothing going to happen on that front for, you know, a year or 2 years?
Well, my wife is in an at-risk category, so I'm really trying to limit what I do. That said, you know, I can't be a hermit, especially not in this business. So I'm not planning on flying anywhere anytime soon, but that is going to happen. I would like a vaccine. If not, then I'm just going to be extremely careful. You know, I have good mask, gloves, stuff like that. And we're just going to have to take the precautions that like we have to take. We'll just see how that goes. I'd love for them to invent a vaccine. That would be wonderful. But failing that, you know, we'll just have to be really careful about where we go, what we do, that kind of thing. I heard some disturbing news from a friend of mine. His son was on a flight, and like air travel is picking up again. I don't know if anyone lives near an airport. They can probably report that back to us. But it seems like air travel really is picking up again. But this guy's son was on the flight, and he said the like airline made no effort to separate people, and hardly anyone was wearing a mask. So basically, if you were on that plane with someone who had COVID-19, your odds were higher than usual that you might have a problem. So I'm going to have to protect myself as much as possible. Like I said, my wife is in an at-risk category, and I want to protect her very, very much. So I'll just have to be careful. It is true that, you know, businesses adapting to this. I just gave a presentation for the Money Show for a virtual conference. In other words, all the presenters were like scattered around America. All the attendees were too. There was no exhibition hall. It was all online. And so I think that's really going to be the wave of the future for many of these conferences. Is it's so much easier just to actually go in electronically. You know, that's really going to give some people a big think. It is true that one-on-one contact is the best, and that's a great way to get people really interested in something, is if you have a booth, you can give them something in their hands and say, look at this chart. You can see this right here in front of you. I can see why we'll get back to that eventually, but I think we're never going back to the old normal. We'll have to go to a new normal. I'm just not sure what that is.
Just quick follow on that follow-up on that Money Show presentation. Did you do that in your underwear?
I did not, but the funny thing about that is because it was all new to me, so I thought I might appear on camera. So I actually dressed up. And then when it came to it, it was just my slides. That's all they were going to see. So I'm thinking, damn it, I could have done this in gym shorts and a T-shirt, and they never would have known.
Well, I guess you could do that next time. But anyway, back to the serious stuff. So, so do you? I mean, as far as potential 10-baggers now and precious metals, I mean, a lot of stocks have already doubled and tripled off the bottom, but they are correcting now. And so, I know you wanted to talk about that. What do you see happening right now in precious metals? We're starting to see, you know, these huge gains are coming off. I think that's a good thing. But I mean, how far or how much lower, how much longer do you think this is going? And then secondly, is this going to set up some really good opportunities to get into some of these names that, you know, potentially have 3x, 5x, or even 10x to move in the next several years?
Yeah, well, we've seen really the top was in a few weeks ago. And so I've had a whole bunch of my positions stopped out with gains. So I actually have a very small portfolio in the gold and silver trader right now. That's fine with me. We get stopped out with gains. I'll take gains any time of the week. Now I'm putting a shopping list together for when the next bottom comes. And I use just ordinary support levels. In fact, I was just, hang on a second. Let me see. I was just looking at where that might be. Next support level. Yeah, for gold. Here we go. So 1659 is a good support level for gold. So is 1619. And so some people might have thought we were going to be over 1700 for like from here on in. Now, you know, gold is so cyclical. So it's just this seems like a pullback here would not be a bad thing at all, because there are many great stocks that we all wanted to buy. This will be our chance. I mean, could gold get all the way down to its 200-day moving average, which it last tested back in March? Maybe. I don't think it's likely, though, because of the forces that pushed the metals and especially miners higher in the first place. We had three things going on, okay? First, we had central banks around the world pumping money into their systems because they were afraid of economic collapse. They're also afraid of like market collapse, but they weren't going to talk about that. They're actually talking about the economies, right? And so all this money flowed in and it was looking for places to go. And that's why you saw, or this is my theory, I should say, that's why you saw the big cap miners really outperform in the first stage of the March recovery. Because all these big investors on like Wall Street, they only know the big miners. They don't know the little miners. They aren't going to chase after them. So they're throwing money at like, you know, the Newmonts, the Barricks, the you name it. All the big stuff, that's what they bought. And that's why the big miners were leading. Next comes the next wave. The next wave is all the investors with a fear of missing out. And so they all get stopped out of things, or they have a pile of cash anyway. And so they're starting to shovel money into this market as well. And so that's why we saw the broad indices, you know, move higher, just because they're just buying these big tentpole stocks, moving things along. I think there's a third wave of cash to come. And that third wave is that we're in an election year and the people in charge want to keep being in office, right? And so we've already heard President Trump say that he wants a new stimulus plan and a new paycheck relief program, whatever the heck that would be. So that could just be the tip of the iceberg. We're going to have more government money sloshing around in the system than we know what to do with. And like, people can talk about fundamentals from now till the cows come home, but I can't hear it over the tidal wave of free money that's washing up and down Wall Street. Now, you and I are talking on a day where there was a very surprising jobs number. And so because of that, we saw interest rates go higher, people saying, oh, the Fed isn't going to cut anymore. And also we saw gold go lower. Fine. I don't think the Fed is going to raise rates. Maybe. Well, it's not going to raise rates in like 2020. It might raise rates in 2021, or it might keep things flat just because the market's really gotten kind of hooked on this. And the last time the Fed tried to do any kind of quantitative tightening, the market threw a hissy fit. It hated it. And that's really important to the people in Washington because, you know, they want to keep all their friends happy and stuff. So I think we're in a free money rally in many different kinds of investments, at least close to election day. There's probably going to be some profit taking and stuff before the election. But this brings us back to gold. Gold is being hurt now because people are saying, oh, we don't need protection. We're actually getting good news on the economy. Things are going to bounce back faster than ever. We don't need gold. There's always another risk around the corner. Always something goes bad. And we have recovered 10% of the jobs lost in the big pandemic shutdown. That's not a lot. One in four families is now needing some kind of food assistance. This economy is not in good shape. Then you add in all the international struggles we have with China and whatnot. I think we're going to have many more risks. And these risks tie into gold cycles, which I was talking about earlier. If gold takes a rest here, it would not surprise me at all. And that's great, because that's our opportunity to get along those great names, because the next cycle is going to go up. All that free money historically has shown that it pumps up asset classes of all types, including precious metals. We saw the same kind of thing on a smaller scale after the Great Recession. That's what helped get us out of the Great Recession. But it really inflated asset classes from real estate to stocks to you name it, including precious metals. This time, same thing on a bigger scale. So take any pullback you see in gold as a buying opportunity. Wait for the next bottom. Have your shopping list ready, and then buy, buy, buy. That's what you do. That's my plan anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good plan, and that will work because I mostly agree with you. Circling back to 10-bagger opportunities.
Yes.
So,
I'm sorry.
Where do you think the best opportunities will be? I mean, assuming we're getting a pullback, maybe it continues a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the best 10-bagger opportunities will be in gold and silver? Is it a... do you favor like producers, explorers, developers? I mean, where do you see the opportunities for the biggest returns?
Well, it's in different areas. For example, if you're looking at developers, I had a great chart, which I put out a few weeks ago, which I got from another friend of mine, which they'd done research. This was in the gold bear market. They looked at what stocks were going up and what stocks went up were single mine pre-producers in that last year before they went into production. That's when most of the stock price appreciation happened, because people anticipated that mine coming on. So I think that if you have a company that's in pre-production, maybe a year away, definitely hang on to it, because that is something that could be really, really good. But that also works for those companies that are bringing new mines on, because that's a reset to, you know, their like revenue and their cash flow, that kind of thing. So if they have a mine coming on in the next year or so, I definitely think you should look at those companies. And again, higher grade, I think that will really help you. Jurisdictions I like, you know, there are certain parts of Canada that are good, but here, I mean, Nevada's fantastic. There's still plenty of undiscovered stuff in Nevada. I'd go there to look at a mine any day of the week. In fact, I was just talking to some guys. They have some stuff in Nevada, which is interesting. They also have stuff in California, which due to one reason or another, no one's actually done anything with for a while. That's fine. You know, I mean, so stuff that really was overlooked the last time. Now, one thing you might want to ask is, what should I avoid? And that's the thing when you're looking for 10 baggers, is you have to be aware of the risks. That doesn't mean you don't go after it, you know, but you have to be aware. You don't put all the money you can scrape up into something that's not only has 10 bagger potential, so it's probably risky anyway, but it's in a risky jurisdiction. We see this down in Latin America a lot. You know, things move into favor, move out of favor, depending on who's in charge of the government. Like, do you really want to buy a mine in Ecuador right now? I really don't. And like certain parts of like Africa, you've seen the smart miners move out of like South Africa, but there are other parts of Africa that are quite good. So they're like working there. I also find there, speaking of Africa, there are opportunities there. And this is one of the things that I'll kind of miss about the conferences, is you'd meet these guys who they'd have a project in Africa that nobody knew about because Wall Street never pays any attention to Africa. And like, they'd have fantastic grades. God, I remember when B2 Gold was just starting out. Nobody knew who they were. We did quite well with that one, too. Not any 10-bagger stuff. But, I mean, you know, those really great grades and, like, stuff like that. There are parts of Africa that are going to be fantastic. Then again, I can think of places like, say, oh, no, I don't want to make any mistakes. Let's just say places in Asia where I really don't want to be investing, because the chance of the thing going against you is quite high, because even if they have success, the government there tends to be really grabby. So always check on the government of the country that you're thinking of like investing in for a really big return. If they have a history of changing the tax laws to grab, you know, whatever value is in a mine, then it's probably not going to be worth your time.
So, okay, with that said, why don't, as far as the, because I know you cover all commodities, but do you think there's better opportunities in some of the other commodities right now compared to
gold? Oh, that'll
get
me in such trouble. But yes, okay, okay. Here's the thing. Something's going on in uranium right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it is nuts. Like, what was it like? Half the world's uranium production got shut down due to the COVID-19 virus. And then all the utilities panicked and the price went up like 39% since the March low, when like zoom and all stuff, because the utilities are buying like crazy. So it's really a wild situation happening in uranium right now. The problem is we have very few uranium miners in the U.S. And the thing about uranium, the thing about all miners, and you know this, they have to be optimists. If they weren't optimists, there's no way that they'd get out of bed every day for 10 years thinking they can turn some piece of dirt into a mine, right? So they're always optimistic about everything, and this is part of the problem for anyone talking to a miner, is you never know if he's talked himself into believing something that can't quite happen. Now, I've had people tell me things. This is one great thing about site visits. When you go to a site and a guy says, we're going to do this and this and this, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, there's no way in hell that's happening. You know, in the time frame you have, no, you're way too far from any kind of infrastructure. There's no way this is going on. Get out of here. So that's why site visits are so damned good. You really learn something. I actually forget what the point I was making was. I'm having a great time talking to you, Jordan.
I'm having a great time listening. I think... I started off asking about opportunities in other commodities, and you started talking about uranium.
Uranium is one. I mean, you should be looking at that. I mean, heck, I mean, the Athabasca Basin, something big is going to come out of that, isn't it? I mean, it is one of the richest spots in the world. There's a lot of great companies working in there. At least one of them is going to be a winner. Look at that. The other one would be cannabis. And you probably don't really want to get into this, but man, that market has bottomed and things are going up, and we seem to be in that phase of the market where you don't have to be smart. You just have to be there. And, you know, you can turn out to be a winner. Now, not all cannabis stocks. I'm staying away from most of the stocks up in Canada. But there's some great U.S. stocks that I'm recommending to subscribers to my Marijuana Millionaire portfolio. So there's some things. Gold and silver look great. I think uranium deserves a look-see from anybody. And if you are okay with investing in something that's illegal on the federal level, cannabis is fine too. Just to bring it back to precious metals, I mean, we are seeing so many good things line up for it. You know, I mean, negative interest rates, we could go into that. The whole potential for a 10-bagger, this is very fertile ground for something like that, you know, because this is the kind of thing where you can actually see stocks lift off. We just have to get a few things click into place, and you can see gold take off and run. Then you'll see 2,000 an ounce, 3,000. I mean, it would not surprise me to see that happen as our financial system comes under stresses and strains over the next few years.
So when you say we need to see a few things happen, can you delve into one or two of those things?
Well, no. A lot of it's political, you know, and I don't like to talk about politics outside of my small group of friends who have to put up with me. I mean, we'll just see how things play out. But the more stress that the financial system comes under, I mean, the amount of money that they're creating electronically in Washington, D.C. right now boggles the mind. I mean, they're just coming up with an extra $4 trillion, and they're talking about adding trillions of dollars or more on that. And, you know, eventually all those debts come due, all those pigeons come home to roost, and then you'll want the money you can't print, and that money will be gold and silver. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. You can read my reports on this and all that stuff where I try to keep politics out of it and stuff like that, but the more wacky stuff they do, not only in Washington, D.C., but in the capitals around the world, you know, the more strain that puts on the financial system. And right now they're like those guys who are juggling, and, you know, they started out with plates, then they added some apples, and that was cool, plates and apples, that's fine. And then some idiot throws in a chainsaw, and now they've got a chainsaw throwing around, and then there's a live baby, and then, oh my God, how are they possibly going to keep this up? In the meantime, they've taken up dancing. And so they're dancing and juggling and everything's going around. And I just don't know how it can all be sustained. This is one reason why I own gold and silver, is because that's how I sleep at night. Because I say, well, if I wake up and suddenly the government says you have to trade in all your money for new money because the old money isn't worth anything, I do actually have something solid and permanent. So, you know, that's just the way I look at it. You can just call me a crazy old man, and that's absolutely fine. That's fine. It's just I do worry about these things. Gold and silver is one of the ways that I sleep at night.
It reminds me of an interview I did a couple months ago where someone asked me, like, are you worried, you know, for society and for all the are you personally worried about all the inflation that's probably coming down the pike? And I said, no, because I'm invested in gold and silver.
Exactly.
So with that said, Sean, can we close on perhaps you can share a company that you think has 10-bagger potential?
Well, I'm not going to tell you about most of them because I want to buy them, right? As I said, my gold and silver trader portfolio is down to a very small position. I have a shopping list. I am going buying. But one we still own is Alexco. And, I mean, that trades on a major U.S. exchange. Anybody can buy it. And, I mean, talk about silver riches. They keep finding more and more. They're in a great location. With that whole Keno Hill property. And silver, for so long, people haven't wanted silver, you know? And, like, no one's going to build a silver mine. I mean, sure, some people do, but it's rare. Normally what gets people excited is a gold mine, so there haven't been enough silver projects coming on. Alexco has the potential to actually bring enough production to the table to actually be worth a lot, and I think could be something that, as silver gets more precious, one of the big miners will look at it and say, I should own that. And so that's where some of your 10-bagger comes from. Symbol is AXU, and it's in the U.S., and though it's working up in Canada now. And so that's an example of a stock that we own now and will own a lot more of because of the real potential of what they have there.
Okay, now, as we close, Sean, can you tell our listeners where to go to follow your work and how they can subscribe?
Sure. Wealth-wave.com, which you mentioned. That's where my free stuff is, three times a week. And you'll see me rant about all sorts of stuff there. And I have a monthly newsletter called Wealth Megatrends. You can find that from either wealth-wave.com or from weissratings.com, which is that's the people who actually pay me, strangely enough. I mean, I can't figure it out, but they like having me around. And they actually look at stock safety ratings, but we did a fascinating thing with that is like I was actually talking to the guy who like owns the company, Martin Weiss, and he says, we have all these smart guys who are really good at like writing up trading systems. Let's do one for marijuana. But the Weiss safety ratings are really about safety. And I said, Martin, there's no safe marijuana stocks. That's a problem. He said, fine. Just rank them by which ones are most likely to move higher. So we have a system for that too, and it's helping out a lot. We just took gains on a cannabis stock in there thanks to the Weiss cannabis rank. thanks to the Weiss cannabis ranking. So really, if you go to weissratings.com, you'll find all of our stuff, or go to wealth-wave.com, you'll find all my free stuff. And, you know, I speak at the Money Show and stuff like that. So you can find me around here. I hope people found this enjoyable. It's kind of stream of consciousness. I would love to talk to you sometime about some of our trips. That would be a great podcast in itself. I mean, some of the things we've done. But it's really been a lot of it's like really been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, we'll definitely have to discuss our trips in a separate episode. And thanks so much for coming on today. I really enjoyed the chat, Sean, and I look forward to having you back, hopefully in the next the months ahead, and we can talk more about future 10-baggers.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the 10-bagger podcast, presented by The Daily Gold. For premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.